Good morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And we are excited that you are here with us today. It's a sun-filled day, even though it's kind of crisp. It's a beautiful morning, isn't it, guys?
Yes.
And we welcome those who are tuning in through the YouTube channel or our website or using our Boxcast app. What a wonderful time it is to join with you. I know many of you are viewing and enjoying our Bible studies and enjoying our fellowship here. We would encourage you to come visit us if you can. If you're in the area, just stop by. If you're not, you can say hello through email and text and all that good stuff. But we're going to be singing Blessed Be the Name, number 32, and we'll sing all four verses.
Which verses?
All.
Prayer requests and praise items of Gary and Maggie and Brett, Barb and Walt and Julie and many of our friends and families to continue to lift them up in thought and prayer. I know Leon's friend Margie. She did pass and passed away. She's been on our prayer list. Keep our government in thought and prayer. Keep each other in thought and prayer. You know, we need that. Listen, when we're living in a dark world, where's the light at? There's light.
Yeah.
And you know, there's hope. My hope is that, you know, Lord, come quickly. You know, You know, and some of your hope right now might be warmer weather and stuff, but anyway, I know from my understanding it was a devastating tornado came through Kentucky. We don't have no friends and relatives in that part of Kentucky, but just to keep them in thought and prayer, because it was, apparently it was devastating. I haven't seen anything on news. I really haven't turned the news on this, but it, apparently it was a monstrous tornado. I think we've got winds from that this week. So keep that in thought and prayer. I shared with the group ahead of time about our conference in May. Those that are listening through internet, if you want to give towards the conference, we do have an obligation for that. It's in May, and there's more information will be coming as we go. I'll have a flyer made up and our speaker list and all that good stuff, but it's in a different location. It's Salt Fork State Park in Cambridge, Ohio area. It's a beautiful place. It's actually the largest state park in state Ohio. So there's plenty of things to do there. So keep that in thought prayer as we move forward. Afterwards, we got a question. Brother Tom's going to have a question for you guys to give a little homework thing. He's reading through the book of Genesis, and he came up on a question. And so he's going to share that with you after the message today. So keep that in thought and prayer. We're in lesson 30 in the dispensational view of fundamentals dispensationalism, and we are thankful for the curriculum of the King James Bible, for one, and also the Grace School of Bible. You know, there's a lot of things about doctrinal studies, and I hope that even though we've been going through Grace School of Bible here for the last 16 years, I do hope that many of you are grasping a stronghold in the Word of God, not letting other doctrines and stuff get a stronghold in your mind, but but the Word of God is pure, okay? And the Word of God is given to us today in the English language, and the fact that God has a plan for all dispensations. And as we're studying through the Bible, that's what FOD stands for, is Fundamentals of Dispensationalism. Now, whether you agree or disagree, that's okay. But everybody's a dispensationalist in one degree or the other. You know, if you think about it, if you open up your newspaper, okay, there are sections in your newspaper that you go to get your information. You don't go through the, you can go through the comics to get your political view, you know, that type of thing. But, you know, you go to sports sections to get what? Sports. You don't go to sports sections get hear about Hollywood stuff. So the thing is, you divide that newspaper. It's divided up. Where you put your flatware at. You got knives, forks, little forks, big spoons, little spoons, that type of thing. That's divided up there. So when you reach in there, you know what to get. So any way you look at things in this world, you are some sort of a dispensationalist. And that means dispense, a stewardship, what God is doing in the Bible. I know some people talk about, as we look at Facebook and stuff, they're like, you know, dispensationalism is a good Bible word. Well, it is a good Bible word. It's God-breathed word. You got to have the right version to see that. But we're studying through, and we left off last week, Romans chapter 11, verse 30. And Romans chapter 11, verse 30, he wants them to go, and then we're talking about Apostle Paul, and we're already studying the fall. Okay, we're right here in Paul's epistle, in the book of Acts, if you will. And to understand the book of Acts, you can go to Romans and how we broke it down as some things. But God, when God chose Paul, we're going to go through this. I just want you to think about this. When God chose Paul on the road to Damascus, he started something new here. Okay, something that wasn't made known. But also, there's a prophetic program still going on when Paul got saved. And Paul, Romans chapter 11, verse 30, he wants them to go, and them, the unbelieving Israelites. This is what you got to think about. When you think about Israel, you had some saved Israelites, and then you had some non-saved Israelites. You think about the world today. You got saved people and unsaved people. Listen, if you're saved today, if you trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, plus nothing else, he places you into a body. Okay? So God is forming a body of Christ today. He's not forming a nation. And every one of us, one time in our life, in our church goings, you probably thought that you were part of a nation, because all they talked about is lifting up Israel and what God was doing from Israel. They didn't understand what they should have had to understand, what God is doing, forming an agency called the body of Christ. They don't show that distinctions in their teachings. That's error. That's where I draw a line. Okay? I'm like, you got to show distinctions. But God through Paul wanted the unbelieving Israelites to act like Gentiles. Now, how do they act? How did the Gentiles act?
Well, they were heathen.
They were heathen. But what else did they do? They recognized, one thing a Gentile recognized, they was cut off from God. Okay? They was cut off from God, and they knew the only place they had hope was in Jesus Christ. That's when Paul was talking about this. Paul wants Israel to see they have been cut off because of the unbelief, but there is hope for them in Jesus Christ. So that unbelieving Israelites was cut off from the little flock. Okay? What are the opportunities for them to be saved? Do they continue to try to be a part of a kingdom program? No, God's not forming a kingdom program. So he says in verse 30, as in time past, talk about Israel, talk about the Gentiles, have not believed God, yet have now, here in the but now, obtained mercy through their unbelief. And how? Gentiles got mercy. How did us Gentiles get mercy? What was that?
Through
Israel's unbelief. And God set Israel aside, and the Gentiles got mercy. Praise God, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You know, Gentiles, we looked at the last lesson or so in Romans chapter 1, what God did to the world. He gave them over to their sin. Okay? And verse 31, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon what? All. God set Israel aside in the position of any other Gentile nations, any other nation on this earth. He set them aside. And why did he do this? Why at this point in Israel's history, in the book of Acts, did God set Israel aside?
They stoned Stephen,
but they stumbled. But what benefit would that do for us? Why? That he might have mercy on everybody with equal basis. You with me? He cannot, if Israel's not a set aside, and Israel's not diminished, and Israel hadn't fallen all the way down here, we wouldn't obtain mercy today. That's something to think about, guys. That's something to preach. That's something to teach. That's something that, praise God, hallelujah. At this point, that God did not set Israel aside despite of vengeance, despite of anger, but he put them in a place that where they could not be saved. See, at this point in the Acts, Israel could not be saved back over here in this other place, because why? They're in unbelief. They didn't believe what Peter, James, and John was teaching over here, that Jesus was the Messiah. They ignored that. So what he did is this. Just in the time that the wrath should have fallen on them, which would have destroyed them, by the way. Mm-hmm. If you have this chart timeline closed up, without the dispensation of grace being sown, when they stoned Stephen, the next thing in the prophetic program line was coming down the track would have been the fact that wrath was going to fall on them. And he interrupted the wrath, and the program of, with the unbelieving Israel could be saved. Otherwise, this is what's going to happen to them. They was going to get destroyed, guys. John the Baptist preached, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Well, who hath warned you? John the Baptist was warning them. You know, he was saying, hey, you better get in this program right now because the wrath is coming and you're going to get destroyed, just like the whole world would be. They would have been destroyed like a bunch of unbelieving Gentiles. So this is why, one of the reasons why that way, that they could get, the unbelieving could get saved. You know, I like the fact that the question was the other day that, you know, the when God said, if you blaspheme against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven you. They spoke evil of Jesus Christ. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know what to do. Father in heaven forgave them and gave them an opportunity. That's why the book of Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is a renewed opportunity to get right with God in the kingdom. Okay? Israel. It was still Israel first. We went through that stuff. But then when the stoning of Stephen, who was there?
Paul.
A bunch of blasphemers also, and people that run that nation was there. And we also saw, if you remember this, they talked Herod into killing John the Baptist. They talked everybody else to killing Jesus, but they killed Stephen themselves. So they was a bunch of blasphemers that could not be saved in that kingdom anymore. But who did God save?
Saul.
A blasphemer, an injurious, a murderer. So there's hope for the nation Israel, okay? Not even for the Israel, but for us Gentiles too, with the fall of Israel. And they're not going to be saved out of they were not going to be saved out of that great tribulation over there. They were going to be destroyed, guys. And the unbelieving Israel and the dispensation grace has got a benefit here. They can actually be saved from that wrath to come over there.
Mm-hmm.
So every opportunity, God makes it a point that man can be saved, okay? Now, it's a blessing that they should have recognized is as such. Paul was over here preaching to them. Hey, lo, I turn to Gentiles. You not hear this? Lo, I turn to Gentiles. Okay? He's telling them how to be saved, Israel. I know you don't think it's strange that Paul would go to these cities and go to a synagogue first. That's, you know, there's synagogues just about every city he went to.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God was out there in every city in the world. There's a point in time in the world that the whole world knew who Israel's was and who God of Abraham, Isaac was, and Jacob, the God of the Bible. They knew that. Do they know it today?
No.
The world don't know the God of the Bible. They got their own gods. You know, you're a God.
By witnessing creation.
They're without excuse.
No excuse.
But the thing is, go back to chapter 11, verse 11. You're in Romans 11, verse 30. Go to Romans 11, 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles to provoke them to what?
Jealousy.
But rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles, notice, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, Paul conducts his ministry in the first half of the book of Acts over here with a view. And one of the things that he's trying to do is provoke Israel to what?
Jealousy.
Unbelieving Israel. Not the little flock Israel. People gets this confused all the time. That's why people says, is the 12 in the body, out of body? Is a 12 putting people in the body of Christ or out of body of Christ? He is not provoking the little flock to be jealous. They are already part of God's program. They're already saved. And one thing Paul's not doing, he's not provoking the Gentiles to be part of that little flock.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he's trying to do to provoke Israel to jealousy, the unbelieving Israel. Now that will help us understand something about Paul's ministry during the Acts period. It should. In the book of Acts, Paul, hold your finger there, goes to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. the book of Acts, Paul speaks in tongues, does he not?
Yes.
You can't get by. Mm-hmm. He does. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21, he says this, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a what?
Sign,
not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesy and serve not to them, for them that believeth not, but to them which what? Believe. And verse 22 says what? For a Jew requires a sign. Listen, if you're looking for a sign today, you're mistaken. Okay? I know the wind blows a certain area, or you know, you speeding down the highway, boy, if it's red light, God's with me, it's red light, turn green. That type of thing. I've done that. You know, that type of stuff. But that's not what he's talking about here. They require signs. And you know the first two signs in your Bible with Israel is, don't you? Mm-hmm. Moses stuck his hand in here, turned out like this. Stuck it in a baby hand. The staff. The first two signs in your Bible has to do with the nation Israel. And ever since then, they needed a sign. A pillar of smoke. Fire. When God was, oh, God's not with us, that type of thing. When God didn't give them a sign, they didn't know. But whom do tongues belong? This is a part of Israel's program. That's when, while Paul is doing, in the book of Acts here, Paul will have gifts of healing, won't he? Mm-hmm. He practiced water baptism. He will go over the book of Acts and practice circumcision as a religious act, right? He will keep vows, don't he? Jewish vows. And you're like, what in the world's going on, Paul? And he will do a whole lot of things over there in his ministry in the book of Acts. But so that when you come to Romans through Philemon's and his epistles, you'll say, why is he doing this stuff? That belongs to that former program. And it could mess you up, couldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, that's why people says, well, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Thessalonians, they're not to you. Because they got Jewish terminology in there. Only the prison epistles deal with you. That's the Acts 28 theory. Okay? That's what the Acts 28 believe. They believe that the body of Christ started at the Apostle Paul in mid-Acts, but the dispensation of grace don't start till down here after Acts 28. Okay? Been there, done that? Why is Paul doing the stuff that belongs to the former program, guys? Why would he do this?
Phasing out.
Phasing out. And some will say that's just a continuation of the former program. And in your mind, you probably know what I just said to be true. Because a lot of people don't teach the distinction of Paul's ministry, the mystery program. They say Paul replaced Judas, and that Paul and Peter agreed, and they preached the same doctrine all the way across through there. You got Bible versions to tell you that. When you turn to Galatians chapter 2, it said Peter and Paul preached the same thing. Well, you know, he's not doing that. And the explanation of that Jewish things that Paul does in the earthly ministry is not found in saying that Paul's ministry is a continuation in times past ministry. I think many of you know that already, the things that he's showing difference, because it isn't. It's recognizing and understanding that God did these things in Paul's early ministries through Paul, for the purpose in dealing with who?
Israel.
There you go, Jews, Israel. Yeah. He's doing that for a purpose, dealing with them. Because have they cast away yet in the book of Acts and when Paul got saved? They're diminishing, okay? So he spoke in tongues as a sign of Israel. He healed the ministry as a sign of Israel. He practiced water baptism as a sign of Israel. He circumcised Timothy as a sign of Israel. He does all these things with unbelieving Israel in mind, and the idea of seeking to provoke them. Okay? You had these things, Israel. You don't know more. And to take things that belong to them and give them to a bunch of Gentiles and shows God's blessing on the Gentiles, demonstrated that God has turned to the Gentiles. He kept telling them in synagogues, "Lo, I turned to Gentiles. I've knocked the dust off my feet. You will not hear it. I'm going to the Gentiles." He told them over and over and over again. With me? So he's taking that and showing the Gentiles, unbelieving Gentiles, you're not going to worry about the believing Israelites. They already know what they're doing. Hebrews to Revelation's already been written before Paul finishes his complete word of God. Peter, James, and John's already talking about what this little flock will do over here. They already got their marching orders. Just they're waiting for it. So you might say, wait a minute. You're going to take that program that I've been in and give it to Gentiles? No, that's mine. What do you mean that's yours? No, it's mine. Well, I just gave it to this guy. No, it's mine. That would provoke you to jealousy, won't it? Want it back, not to go kill him or anything, you know, beat him up in a side alley. The fact is, hey, he gave it away. It was mine. And you could say it's not yours anymore, but that's why it's hard sometimes when you got a gift and you want to give it to somebody, right? You really, out of your heart, you want to give it to them. But sometimes you're in the back of your mind, you ever think, well, I don't want you to do with it this with it. You know, don't you spend this down there at JCPenney's. Don't you go to Wally World. Now you can go over here. Now, what kind of gift is that?
Not a gift.
That is hard, isn't it? You know what I'm talking about? That's hard to just hand somebody something and have no strings attached. I've learned over the years, when somebody gives you something, take it for grace. People used to give me stuff. I'm like, no, I really don't need that. You know, I'm okay. I remember the first time I preached down there in Knoxville, Tennessee under Ray Watson, and we didn't have much money. And we was down there and we went by his church before we come back home. And he handed me some money for preaching. And I'm like, Ray, I'm not going to take that, buddy. You know, I put it in your church. No, I didn't take it. And my wife looked at me. She said, we could have used that for gas money. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I don't think about that stuff.
Pride.
You know, when somebody tries to give you something.
Pride.
Yeah, and you know what it is? Pride. So here's a gift that God gave them to do, and you see that would provoke them to jealousy. Because he told them that he's going to do it. And he took it away from them, Israel, unbelieving Israel, and you did not do what I told you to do, and I gave it to him because he did. You know what I mean? I gave that gift to this guy because he deserves it. He's got it. You didn't do what I told you to do. That type of thing. Now, when the diminishing period was over with, that's over with in Acts chapter 28, then there was no longer any need of this spiritual gifts and provoking Israel. From this point, man, Acts to Acts 28, you had a provoking ministry because of Israel. And they started diminishing. And when it's over with, there's no longer need that. So all these things that were Israel's program before Paul showed up continued in that diminishing period. And then they all passed away. And everything that was introduced and given by Christ to Paul to give to us, everything he wrote in epistles, those things continue. That's why you see those things speaking in tongues and all that stuff. Now, Acts 28, Paul tells the Jews at Rome, "For the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain Unbelieving Israel, only hope of missing the wrath of God. Unbelieving Israel, because it's unbelieving Jews he is talking to, and the wrath, which would be either hell or tribulation, was in the message that Paul was preaching. He preached Christ crucified. He preached Christ was the Messiah. He preached Christ. That message right there that Paul was telling the unbelieving Jews and the Gentiles that was listening to was the fact that what accomplished at that cross. And Paul is not telling those people by any stretch of imagination, for the kingdom to come, I'm in bonds. He don't say that. You with me? He don't say I'm bound, I'm in bonds, I'm in chains because of this kingdom program. He's in chains and bonds and held to Jesus Christ as a prisoner because of the unbelieving Israelites and the Gentiles in the world. So you have here the only hope that the unbelieving Israel had at the time in Paul's ministries. Now, the thing about the provoking Israel to jealousy is not anything new. If you go back to Romans chapter 10, there's a provoking of Israel in the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is designed to record the provoking of Israel in two ways. One is the prophetic provoking, and the other one is a mystery provoking. You know, we talk about rightly dividing the word of truth, don't you? You have to rightly divide what God's word, too. And in Isaiah chapter 5, he calls the nation Israel, you know what he calls them? His vine. He plants a vineyard. And one of the symbols of scriptures for the nation Israel is a vine tree, which is the picture of the national life of Israel. The life of the nation as a national entity. John the Baptist shows up in Israel and preaches to Israel to repent. Change your mind. Get right with God. John begins to call together this little flock, this believing remnant in the nation. Out of that whole nation of Israel, John the Baptist is calling them out, and some of them will hear him, won't they? You know they do. Mm-hmm. The national Israel. And then he calls out a little flock out of that national Israel. You get the big picture of Israel, then within that Israelite, you got a little flock that's coming out of there. And you got the nation Israel out there, and then you got a remnant of believers in the nation Israel who will be identified together with John's baptism. As a, what are they to do in John's ministry? What is he forming out of that little flock, that little nation? What are they supposed to be doing? What are their job to do, per se?
Well, they're supposed to be the light.
Kingdom of priests.
That's why water baptism is very, very important there. Okay? And in the world today, 90% of your denomination out there, it's important for them too. But the thing is, you have to know what water baptism is all about. And you do two things to be prepare a priest for the ministry. And the nation is to be a kingdom of priests. That's what Moses told them to be over here. You're going to be a kingdom of priests. He needs a kingdom of priests over here in the kingdom to minister to the nations. And what do you do first? You wash them.
Ceremonial cleansing.
And you wash them, and then you anoint them. Mm-hmm. And so they are called. He called them together. And the baptism of John is what has to do with the washing. The ceremonial cleansing from idolatry. Hey, This group of people over here, the nation Israel, was committing fornication with other gods. That's what fornication is, okay? And he calls them out, and in order to call them out, you have to be cleansed. And that's what water baptism is about, the priesthood. Then Jesus Christ dies at Calvary. He goes up and sends the Holy Spirit back to a little flock of people, and they are what?
Anointed.
Anointed. You got denominations out there loves every minute of that. We've got to get back to the days of Pentecost. You got to be anointed. Where's the oils? You know, and speaking tongues and all that stuff. And they're carried out in the early part of Acts in here. And you get the early Acts, and this little flock carries out what the purpose of calling unbelieving Israel into repentance. You're still down here, guys. You have no hope. So unbelieving Israel has an opportunity to be saved, and they carry it on that way. And what God is doing through the little flock of people to unbelieving Israel is speaking to provoke the unbelievers in a nation to become believers, and this prophesies provoking. See, they had a provoking ministry too, to provoke unbelieving Israel to what? Believe like believing Israel. You with me? Okay? Don't get that confused. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, you're still in Romans, right? We're going to Romans 10 next. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That is to seek to cause their brethren to strive to perform good works. And there's a motivation here, trying to motivate them to good works. So their prophetic provoking is to provoke them to do good works. Now, should you not want to do good works even in dispensation of grace?
Yeah.
You know, works don't save you, never has, never will. You know, there's nothing you could do in God's program today to get saved by doing good works. But if you are saved, don't you want to do good works? And a lot of people say, oh, you grace believers, you don't think you have to do this, 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 this. All reality, you don't. But should you want to? Absolutely. Should you want to go out and share the gospel with the people? Yeah. You know, should you want to come here on Sundays? Yeah. You know, that type of thing. Should you want to work to provide food for your family? Yeah. You know, there's some things that you would need to do, good works. Now, Romans chapter 10, verse 18 says, but I say, have they not heard? Now he's talking about Israel now. Remember Romans 9, 10, 11 has to do with dispensational Israel, okay? Yes, verily, their sound went unto all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? It's a question mark here, right? Haven't they heard? What's the answer?
Yes.
God gave them ample opportunity to hear and receive their Messiah. Did not Israel know? Did not Israel know who Christ was and what they should have done? The answer is yes. Watch what he says. First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought not me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gain-slaying people. The folks outside that little flock are disobedient. They are gain-slayers. They won't pay any attention to the word. So what does he do? He gathers together a remnant of believers in the nation, and he calls them a, not only a little flock, but a foolish nation. Okay? If you're a nation and there's something over here, you look, that's a foolish nation. Don't believe them. You know what I'm getting at? He a foolish nation. In other words, any other titles for the little flock is a title of the foolish nation. And a lot of commentaries, if you think about it, they call that the Gentiles. You know, the foolish nations.
Or America.
For foolish. Now, let me ask you something. I might be getting ahead of myself. Does he say nations or nation?
Nation.
Okay, keep that in mind. Now, Matthew 21, 1 Peter chapter 2, and Romans chapter 10. I know you're already there. Let's look at these verses for a second. Romans chapter 10, verse 19 says, and you're there already, but I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said it. Did he not?
Mm-hmm.
Now Paul's writing about it. And he is over here in a dispensation of grace. The fall of Israel has already taken place, and he's explaining to you in Romans chapter 10 why God set Israel aside. And he says, didn't they know? What's the answer?
Yes, did.
Yes, they knew. And Moses had already told them back in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 21, for it says, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Once again, the word nation is there. Is the word singular or plural?
Singular.
It don't say nations. By a nation. The word Gentiles means what?
Nations.
Nations. It's plural. And it does not mean one nation. It means all the nations which with the exclusive of Israel. Exclusive of Israel. And in time past, Israel was not to be what? Reckoned among the nations. Not United Nations. What they want the whole world to be. But the word Gentiles, you know, in the Greek you get the word ethnic. And it's talking about nationality, your nation. And the word is nations. And when he says the apostle to the Gentiles, this is another way of saying he's apostle to the what? Nations. And with one nation among all the nations of the world is in the verse a reference to. What nation and all the nations of the world will be a reference to?
Nation Israel.
That's the answer. Go to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Verse 43. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, taken from the people out there, the apostate nation of Israel, okay? And give to a, what? Nation. That's a little flock is here. Bringing forth fruits thereof. So, he has the nation Israel, and out of that nation Israel, he gives it to a nation, okay? A little flock. And you see, when Christ came, he's looking at a true nation. He wasn't looking for those that said, we have Abraham as our father. Did they not say that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just because you're circumcision in the manner of Abraham, did that make you part of that nation?
Yeah, it did.
Physically, and we're not spiritual children of Abraham. That's what they was doing. Physically, they had it. Spiritually, they didn't. And he was looking at for a true Israel God. He was looking for the believers in Israel, and I believe they was believers in Israel. Hey, John the Baptist says all of Jerusalem and Judea was baptized unto him except who? The Pharisees and lawyers, and they rejected the counsel of God. So there was people that followed John the Baptist, except the religious leaders. Jesus Christ comes on the scene. You don't think people recognize who he was? Yes, they did. Yeah. They believed it. They started believing him. They become part of that true nation, not the apostate nation. Now, it was probably nationally they was there, right? But now they became part of a little flock, and he was looking for those believers. And he says to the apostate nation out there, the kingdom is going to be taken from you and given to the believing remnant, the little flock, and a nation that brings forth fruits for the kingdom. That's why he said, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. Isaiah 26, he calls the group of people a righteous nation. That's who's going to rule reign over here. Hey, would you rather have a righteous nation ruling over you or an unrighteous nation ruling over you? You know, in all the world, I forget how many countries there are, 166 countries, something like that. How many of you really think honest to God serves a righteous God and is a righteous nation? There's none out there. If you honestly believe yourself and believe, there's not a nation out there that's serving God Almighty right now in the whole world. Now, you may think they are. And in your own little nation, in your home, you're probably so. But I'm talking about there's no righteous nation. And think about him taking that national recognition away from those leaders and giving it to another nation. That would make me mad. You take my inheritance away from me and give it to somebody else that's not even kin to me? You know what I mean? Let's close right there, and next week we'll pick up more about this. But Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things given us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Just remember a few things before Brother Tom comes up here. If you want to donate to our ministry, please do. We've got donut button. Don't eat the donut button. Don't have icing on it. But anyway, if you want to give towards ministry, you know what you need to do. And we are thankful for everything you do. We're thankful for the ones that are here. Keep in mind of what we have to do here. Keep in mind in our loved ones and on our website, our prayer list, I should say. And at this time, Brother Tom's going to come up and just share a quick question for you. And if you want to answer it, you can email us or text us. And we'll see what the answer is. Tom?
Just remember, Tom, we know where you live.
Oh, boy. They'll hunt me down.
Yeah, I recently started a Bible study through the Bible reading. I've done it 6 times in 50 years. That's not very good. Kind of thought I knew it all. But every time you read through it, you see something new. And I'm just going to mention that real quick, but I've started reading 3 chapters a day, starting in the Old Testament, and then 1 chapter in Paul's epistles a day. And I'll get through the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and I'll get through Paul's epistles 4 times in 1 year. So I think that'll be a pretty cool way to do it. But I got into Genesis, and I was encouraged. I watch a lot of YouTube. Like I said, you got to know the whole scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's possible, profitable for doctrine, one thing, not all of it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. So we have to know the whole Bible to get all that. And when I was reading in Genesis, I'm really enjoying Joseph. And when his brothers came to visit him, he recognized them. They didn't recognize him as a type of Christ. He's got a whole lot of type of Christ in this Joseph account. And I think he was toying with them because he accused them of being spies. And I'll bet you when he come to see them and they threw him in the pit, they were accused. You're here to spy on us for Dad. You're going to hear you're throwing it right back at him. Okay? And he finally, he says, I'm going to keep one of you here. And he chose Simeon. Well, why did he pick him? He should have took Judah. He's the one that convinced him to sell him to the Midianites. But he took Simeon. My question to you guys and anybody watching on YouTube, why Simeon? What's he got the, you know, why was he picked out? What is Joseph trying to say something, give a hint of who they're dealing with? They're dealing with your brother here, you know, I'm your brother. And they didn't catch on. But next week, we'll see if any of you found the answer. And YouTube people and whoever's watching, you can tell Ed. I don't know how that works. But that's my question to everybody. Why Simeon? So
thanks,
have
Tom.
Fun.
To next week's, guys.